Good afternoon. It's a great blessing to see you. I wanted to get up and share with you. You remember last week, some of you pointed out that the worship bulletin was wrong, and we changed things around, and the worship bulletin is wrong again. I'm not Billy Smith. And I am Roy Sharp, and I'm glad to be Roy Sharp because I love Billy Smith, and I'm glad he's Billy Smith. But tonight, we are going to do what was intended to be done last week. We're going to do a service of scripture and song, and Clay is going to help with that. We're so glad to see several of the university students back with us. Thank you for coming back to school. Thank you for coming to the Henderson Church to worship tonight. And we have other guests. Thank you for being here. And as we worship tonight, we will have a prayer at the appropriate time by Daryl Culberson. And then Keith Smith is going to have some closing remarks. And Jason Deffenbaugh will be leading us in our prayer. Tonight, I want us to think about in scripture and song, trusting in the Lord. And in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, we read about Paul's trust in God. And that's what we want to develop, is the same kind of trust that the Apostle Paul had. He had all kinds of difficulties. There are people sitting here tonight with difficulties of one kind or another in life, and those challenges are there for us to face. Not only in this passage, but many other passages, we see Paul talking about the difficulties that he faced in his ministry. But he kept going. He persevered, and I am confident that he is going to be a tremendous example as long as the Lord lets the world stand. Beginning in verse 3 of 2 Timothy 1, Paul said, "I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day." He's talking about the young man Timothy. He said, "And I remember your tears. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the sufferings for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and who called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and in the love that are in Christ Jesus our Lord." We want to worship together tonight as we think about meditating on our prayer to God. Paul's faith was very, very powerful. If you want a consistent pattern of trust and faith, yes, there are some questions that are raised in the Psalms, but as we think about our work and our effort tonight to be who God wants us to be, I want us to read as we meditate, and to meditate means to think seriously about, but not just stop at thinking, but at putting into practice the things that we are meditating upon. And so in Psalm 109, beginning with verse 21, The psalmist is encouraging us to think as we listen to his message. But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good. Deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. I am gone like a shadow at evening. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it.
We're going to forego the electronic media tonight. If you'll grab one of those blue hymnals in front of you, be using those this evening. You'll turn with me to number 40, please. Be with me, Lord, number 40. Sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot lift the loads of life unaided. I need thy strength to lead myself upon. Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow could with this one compare. A constant sense of thy abiding presence wherever I am, to feel that thou art here. Be with me, Lord, when loneliness o'ertakes me, when I must weep amid the fire of pain. And when shall come the hour of my departure, for woes unknown, O Lord, be with me then.
Number 288, I Need Thee Every Hour, 288. You'll note that both of these psalms are songs of prayer to the Lord from us. Sing verses 1 and 2, please, and then we'll repeat the chorus. 1 and 2, and then repeat the chorus.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless.
Our next song is going to be number 643. It's a very familiar song, and obviously it's familiar to us because it comes from perhaps the most familiar Bible passage in all of the work that God has given to us. Most often used, perhaps. One of the things that I've noticed through the years is that we often use Psalm 23 at a funeral. It's a great passage to use at a funeral because it talks about the trust that we have placed in the Lord. And of course, at a funeral, we're thinking about a person having followed the Lord as a sheep follows a shepherd. Verse 4, I want you to pay special attention to because it does not necessarily refer to death. It can refer to death, but we've learned before that the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho, down that mountainside, was a very tough bit of terrain. And there were often people who were robbed and beaten, sometimes killed, and so much so that it was called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And so as we think about that, we think about our lives, we think about the difficulties that we face, the circumstances of life that we do not want to come. We don't want to be a part of what we are about, but they are. Life has its difficulties and struggles. And what this great passage does is it tells us that we can trust in the Lord and we need to follow Him as a sheep follows a shepherd. And we need to make sure that the Lord indeed is the shepherd of our life. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Number 643, "The Lord my shepherd is." 643. Sing all three verses, please.
"The Lord my shepherd is, I shall be well supplied. Since He is mine and I am His, what can I want beside? What can I want beside? He leads me to the place where every pasture grows, where living waters gently pass, and full salvation flows, and full salvation flows. If e'er I go astray, He doth my soul reclaim, and guides me in His own right way, for His most holy name, for His most holy name."
And number 438, "My hope is built on nothing less." We'll sing 1, 2, and 4, please. 438.
"My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid land. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound,
Anywhere is home. 44. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. Miss Convenient, would you stand for this one song, please? 1 and 3.
Earthly wealth and fame may never come to me. And a pathless path, here mine may never be. But let come, if Christ for me doth care. Anywhere is home, if He is only there.
Let's pray. Loving and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today to worship your name. Father, we're so grateful that we have this time to focus on you, to think about you. Father, we know that if we build our lives on you, if we focus on you, if we do the things that you ask us to do, that we can come to heaven and be with you. But Father, we know that there's so many times that we get trapped in worldful things, sinful things, that we get tied up in trying to impress people here on this earth or trying to fit in. And Father, you don't want us to impress people. You don't want us to fit in. You want us to stand out and be different, to shine your light wherever we go. Father, we pray that you will help us to have the courage and have the strength that we need to do that. Father, we pray that you'll be with everyone here tonight. We pray that they will listen to your word that's being spoke by Brother Roy and Father, but also the songs that we sing. Father, we just pray that you will help us to open our hearts so that we can accept you and live for you the way that you want us to. Father, we ask that you will watch over us as we continue to serve here on this earth. We pray that you will be with us, be with the ones who are not here tonight, the ones who are sick or ill or who felt like they needed to be in other places. We pray that you will just bring them back at the next time that we meet, Father. We pray, Father, that you will continue to be with us throughout the rest of this worship. Pray that you'll be with our country, be with our leaders, be with our soldiers. Please, Father, protect us always. And, Father, please help us come to heaven and be with you in the end. It's in your Son's only precious name we pray. Amen.
We've talked and read about trusting in God as we meditate on prayer. Do you really believe that the prayer that Daryl just uttered has any real effect on life? When you pray with people who are sick, do you really believe that prayer has any real effect on the person's illness, on the heart of God and the mind of God? Is God willing to move and act in our lives when we reach out to Him for help because we've lost a job or because of some other serious circumstance in our lives? We need to think about that. We need to meditate about that. And then as we trust in God's care, as we read about the Lord being our shepherd, do you really believe that the Lord can lead and guide your life as we know His heart, as we know His mind, as it's been revealed to us? That's the only way we can know the heart and mind of God, because He's chosen to reveal it to us. And then we need to think about just how much trust we have in God. Do we place our lives in God's hands, or do we have to be so brilliant, so talented, so hardworking, so whatever it is that you think of that men need to be that will get us to where we need to be in life? Or can we put our trust in the hands of God? Do we believe God is capable? We have so many stories that help us see that God truly is capable. I want to read for you a great story found in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 3, about a very faithful man, a man with much faith. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent him to the elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him. He loves us as a nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but you say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I, too, am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And I say to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such a faith."
We saw thee not. 726, we'll sing verses 1 and 2.
"We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and wealth, nor yet beheld thy God is all, him that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod the streets and plains, thou Son of God. But we trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage truth, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive them not what they do, but
number 400, living by faith. We'll sing verses 1 and 3, please.
I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith. Close to my side, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all I'm safe and sheltering on, I'm living by faith.
Number 191, God will take care of you. 191, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4, please.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care.
You'll turn to number 655 as our song of invitation. 655.
When we think about trusting in God, there's great, great reason to trust in God. He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him would not perish but should have everlasting life. Salvation costs a great deal. The price was very high. It was the blood of the Son of God. The writer of the book of Hebrews talks about judgment upon people who drifted away from God before the time of Christ, and reasons that drifting from Christ now will allow no possibility of escape at all. God has been mindful of every one of us, and He asks that we be mindful of Him now. And He asks us to put our trust in Him by putting our souls, our eternities, in God's strong hands. It may be that there's time for you today to obey. It may be time for you to obey. We want to take the time for that. Sometimes it's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to make that last commitment. We have in our hearts what we want to do, what we feel like we need to do, but we just don't move. It may be time today to admit that your life needs a commitment to God, to be born into the family of God, or to come back home as a child of God, repenting and praying. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the writer has just given some warning, and he is now going to warn about neglecting salvation. That is, neglecting putting your trust in God. And so the writer says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression of disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that you care for Him. You've made Him a little while lower than the angels. You've crowned Him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under His feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to Him, He left nothing outside His control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to Him, but we see Him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God He might taste of death for everyone. For it was fitting that He for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why He is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given to me. Would you put your trust in the One who gave His all for you? If you have that need, and this is your time to respond, please come as we stand and as we sing.